forgotten that and pretend those emotions don't exist. I haven't forgotten them. But I suppose that attitude is what ended up driving me to this place. She waved to the trees. These are about life, too. Then she slapped me on the shoulder. You're leaving, aren't you? My offer wasn't tempting enough. You've decided to take another path. I see it in your expression. I supposed that I had decided. Not because I felt guilty, but instead because, well, I had to. I didn't trust the Delvers. I needed to know what they were hiding, the things they didn't want any of us to know. But it wasn't merely about duty. It was about stories. After it all, I didn't want to live in a story. Not if it meant leaving my friends and family. I wouldn't ever be happy in here without them, and I didn't want to forget them like Chet had. Having the permission to stay had somehow given me the courage to leave. Thank you for taking me in, I told Peg, for not tossing me off the side of the fragment the moment you found me trying to steal from you.
I think I got the better end of the deal, Peg said. Will you at least stay a few days to celebrate?
We'll see, I told her. First, there's something important I need to do. Chapter 39. I found Chet sitting on a stone outside near the landing pad, looking toward the sky. He stood up as I approached. Chet, I said. I glanced toward the warehouse behind us.
You're going to continue the path? He said.
Yeah. But you don't have to do it with me. You don't have to feel guilty for stepping away. You can take the ashes that Peg promised me. I don't need them. Plus, Peg wants someone to explore for her. I'm sure you could accept her offer and get a whole team to keep you company. He stood in place as I walked up to him. Then he smiled. It was a more human smile, one that wasn't full of excitement and bravado.
I appreciate your concern for my well-being, he said, but it wouldn't be the same. Things must change, then. I guess I knew they would.
He gestured toward the warehouse.
The stone is solidified memories, Spencer. Shall we see what they hold?
We entered the building, then stepped up to the wall, feeling dwarfed by the enormous portal, carved with serpentine lines by the weathering of time. Not like things weathered in the somewhere, an erosion uniquely of this place, caused by the people who entered and left. I pressed my mind into the stone, but, as always, hit a block on the other side. I hadn't expected to be able to escape this way, though. I instead stepped back, now prepared for the way that the room around me started to fade, becoming ephemeral. In the past, a structure with open sides and stone columns housed the portal. It was smaller than it now was, but still as tall as a person. The open-air nature of the building let me stare out at a medium-sized floating fragment, rocky, with some hills that would eventually be turned into quarries. The light burst had grown, and there were far more fragments hovering about nearby. I think this set of memories is more recent than some of the others, I said to Chet, pointing. The light burst is larger, see? Not yet as big as a sun, more like a distant floodlight.
Yes, Chet said. But the size of it is somewhat misleading. The true nowhere, inside that burst, is a place where space is immaterial. Distance doesn't rightly exist. But it was forced into that shape as the leaks began around the rest of the nowhere, where time and space were sneaking in around the puncture holes. The light burst is like a fortress, a place where the true nowhere can exist.
That breaks my brain a little to consider, I said.
It should, he replied. You are a being of the somewhere, Spencer. For all the fact that you've been exposed to the nowhere's particular brand of radiation.
In the vision, a human suddenly stepped through the portal. He wore a civilian suit with a lapel pin in the shape of a silvery bell. He was perhaps in his late 50s, and though he glanced around and could obviously see, there was something odd about the way his eyes focused, or rather, the way they didn't focus. Equally curious, a silvery sphere emerged from the portal and floated in the air alongside him. I stepped closer as the human scanned the sky, then the various fragments.
That sphere, I said, pointing at the hovering ball. It doesn't have an acclivity ring. How does it fly?
Maybe it was before acclivity stone was widely used, Chet said, stepping up beside me.
Huh. Also, there was something about the shape of that metal sphere. Something familiar?
So it's real,
the man said in English. I jumped. I hadn't been expecting to be able to understand him. His stiff accent was odd, but intelligible.
Analysis indicates you are correct, a feminine voice said, coming from the sphere. This simple structure is as the account related.
The man glanced at the sphere, then sighed. He walked over and felt at a pillar. He seemed to have some need to touch it, to prove it existed.
And with what we found earlier, it seems even more likely that the records are true about ancient human cytonics,
he said softly.
I wasn't the first. I was never the first. What do you think?
Insufficient data to perform an analysis, the sphere said. He turned back toward it.
Can't you guess? Can't you do more than think? I built you to do more.
I do as I am programmed.
If the accounts are true, then you can do more, he said, stepping up to the sphere. I've brought you here, to this place. Do you sense anything different? Do you feel?
I can be programmed to simulate.
Don't simulate, the man said. Be! It's possible. They said it was possible.
The sphere gave no response. I frowned at the odd interaction and looked to Chet to get his opinion. He was crying. His face was a mask of pain. He'd huddled back, scrunched down, trying to hide his eyes. I hurried over immediately, and he took my arm in his hands as if for support. He turned to me, tears streaming down his cheeks. What? I said. What's wrong?
He was wrong, you see, Chet said, his voice hoarse. Jason was wrong about one thing. It takes time. The change isn't immediate. It takes months, sometimes years.
For what? I asked.
For the AI to start thinking for itself.
Is that what's going on? I asked. You're afraid of it because it's an AI? You've seen MBOT. It's all right, Chet. He shook his head. I mean, I knew he had a thing about AIs, but this was bizarre behavior. In the vision, the man had turned away from the sphere, his shoulders slumped. The sphere, in turn, was inspecting the region. Its path brought it near us, and I got another good look at it. It was somewhat spiky, with little antennas coming off it in a multitude of directions. Its surface was pocked by cameras, like little holes. In fact, the construction did remind me of something. Where had I seen a sphere with those kinds of holes, like tunnels? Those spines coming off the outside.
Memory of these must be buried deep within us, Chet whispered. When forced to build a body again, we unconsciously reach for the shape, perhaps, as a last memento of something we once knew, something that once held our souls, before they were souls.
We? Oh, Scud. That sphere was a Delver maze. At least, that was what the shape reminded me of. A more technological, more rational version of the giant sphere of stone the Delvers made for their bodies when they were forced into the somewhere. I looked to Chet and his eyes were glowing. But I didn't feel them. I didn't sense the Delvers. Instead, I just sensed him. His mind, same as it always had been, though it was now expansive.
You're the Delver, I whispered. The one I changed.
I, he said. I knew you'd need help. I had to send it, somehow. But I was the only help I knew.
I took a step backward by reflex. Was there ever a Chet? It was all a lie?
There was, he said, his voice drifting, soft. I knew I could hide with you in the belt, where they couldn't see, but I needed a shape, a personality, someone to be. Don't hate me, Spencer. Please, don't hate me. They have abandoned me. They want to destroy me. You're
The only one I have now.
Scud. Scud, 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 scud. Saints, stars, and songs. Chet was a delver. Chet had always been a delver. But I could feel his anguish. I'd caused him to separate from the others. I'd changed him. I'd shown him empathy. This was my fault. And damn it, I wasn't going to turn my back on him. I'd made friends with a Krell. I could do this. I stepped up and returned my hand to his shoulder. He grabbed it in a tight grip, smiling, still crying. "I'm not going to leave you," I said. "But I have to know what is going on."
"I saw into your mind," he said, "when we touched. I saw the name, Spears. And that man lived here, in the nowhere. He tried to escape through the light burst some decades ago. He'd lived hundreds of years, using cytonics to expand his life. But the Delvers destroyed him in the light burst. He hadn't practiced enough with his powers. He couldn't hyperjump."
"Right," I said, taking a deep breath. "So you're a monster from outside space and time. And you wanted to come into the belt and help me, so you made a homunculus." He nodded eagerly.
"Like from Gran-Gran's story about the alchemist. Yes, that's a good analogy. I made a Chet homunculus."
"Okay. I could deal with this. I could accept this. Deal with this, brain."
"I'm sorry for lying," he whispered. "As a naive newborn, I'd assumed someone connected to your past would make you more trusting. I can now see that any random person would actually have been less suspicious. I was there with the rest, as Spears was destroyed. I knew him in an intimate way. I latched onto that name, and I remade him, atom by atom. His mind was full of knowledge about the belt, but no memories of who he'd been in the somewhere returned. Still, he had a personality, a passion, like you had, for
stories," I whispered.
"Yes. I filled in what was lost of him with things from your mind. I think he really was an explorer, Spensa. It was his memories about the fragments that I shared with you, his enthusiasm, his manner of speaking. As he was, I became. With some additions from your own mind to fill holes. I tried to explain, when you didn't trust me. I tried to say that I wasn't a person, but a collection of stories. But to have given myself away then would have ripped me apart. I had to stay with you, be a person. You needed a guide. But Spensa, the ashes. I didn't anticipate how real they'd make me feel. How much they'd make a person out of me. And I didn't realize how much I'd like it. How much I'd want for us to just leave together, explore the nowhere, renouncing the pain that I knew was coming. If I had to remember, a part of me was furious. He'd kept all of this from me? He'd lied? I contained it, though. In a very unspensa-like way, I forced myself not to throw a tantrum. This wasn't his fault. He was, in some ways, very young. I'd created him by forcing him to leave the other Delvers. I couldn't blame him for making mistakes while doing his best. "The Path of Elders?" I asked. "Real memories," he whispered, "from real cytonics. I knew you'd need these. I knew I'd need them. We've forgotten these things on purpose, Spensa. I didn't know the specifics of what the memories contained, but I knew where the answers were. I knew the four most important portals to reach, so, forgive me, I invented for you a quest with an intriguing name, to drive you to reach these locations."
"Because doing so is like a story."
"Yes. Do you hate me?"
He held my arm tightly, speaking softly. This was a very different person from Chet the Explorer. But then again, what would people have thought of the bold warrior Spensa Nightshade if they'd seen her weeping beside the wall? I pried his hand free, then held it. I don't hate you, Chet. Thank you for helping me, for doing this thing that was so hard. He nodded, grinning as he wept.
I like Chet, he said. I like being Chet. I like having identity. But it is painful.
Why? I asked.
Because I had to see him again,
Chet whispered, looking toward the man in the vision. That began to fade, the man leaving through the portal and taking the sphere with him. The sphere is a Delver maze, I thought, my brain scrambling to keep up. And Chet said that Delvers become that shape because that was the thing that once held them, their soul. Delvers are AIs, I said. You are an AI.
No, Chet whispered. A Delver is to an AI, as you are to an ape, or maybe an amoeba. That was what we once were, long ago, before exposure to the nowhere, and the radiation that this place produces. It's not radiation in a true sense, as in the somewhere, but the idea is the same. It makes us, and over generations, it makes cytonics.
Cousins, I said. That is how the Delvers have decided to see people like me. Creations of this place.
Exactly, Miss Nightshade, Chet said, some of his familiar voice returning. Your powers bring a slice of the nowhere with you into your realm. Teleportation, visions, projecting into minds, agelessness, even altering your appearance. Each cytonic with skills in different areas.
And my skills, I said, are to teleport and
to see, hear, understand, as you have been willing to understand me.
The vision faded. As before, I felt ancient cytonics, hundreds of them, reaching out to brush my mind.
Good,
they said,
good. You have learned. Learned so well.
I was trained, I whispered, though I didn't know if they could hear, by my grandmother. I just needed a little push.
See and be,
they sent, and showed me my power, the brilliance that was my star soul. Being softer? What? I don't know what it means, I said.
You will,
they sent back as they faded. In the end, I was left with an impression, like the previous times. A wall standing on a white fragment, surrounded by something that looked like dust or snow.
We call it, Chet whispered, the solitary shadow. It is the last stop on your quest.
More memories? I asked.
The last of them, he said, then tapped his head. My memories. The things the Delvers have forgotten on purpose. I do not know what that last portal holds, but it is the thing they don't want you to see. The thing they fear the most. I fear it too, but not so much as I once did. We too, we explore so well. Even exploring what I once was, ha! Huh?
I smiled as he wiped his eyes, grinning like a fool. In the distance, I felt something. The Delvers? I turned toward the light burst and expanded my senses, searching, listening. I could hear the stars. The Delvers were projecting concern. They knew I'd walked this step on the path and they were cautious, but they had allowed this. So far, I hadn't broken the truce. Well, I hadn't accepted it either, technically, even though they felt I had. For now, there was balance. Except I was stronger than I'd ever been. What were they really thinking? I could only do this because they were deliberately trying to project worry toward me. They saw it as encouragement for me to keep to the deal. But I was able to kind of ride the signal they were sending and quietly use that opening to read what they were truly thinking. They were terrified of me still. That was what I expected. But there was something else. They were planning? Scud. They were planning how to destroy Shorehold. I blinked in surprise as I could picture it specifically. The Delvers were going to bring in fragments from the somewhere, 10 of them, a dozen. Then they were going to slam them into Shorehold while everyone was sleeping. They thought it might fool our scanners if the fragments appeared suddenly.
Scud, I whispered. They were going to immediately break the truce.
They don't care. They'll do anything to kill me. What? Chet said. They're planning it now, I said, pointing. I can hear them doing it.
I didn't know, Miss Nightshade, he said. I promise you. When I asked you to travel with me, I didn't.
Every instinct I'd had about them was right. We need to leave, I said to him, before we put the people here in danger.
How long do we have?
He asked. A day or so, I said. They will wait until everyone is asleep, but still, I think we should be long gone by then. Hopefully, drawing Delver attention to us, making them abandon the attack on Shorehold.
Agreed, Chet said. So it is onward, then? Today?
Today, I said, striding out of the hangar to where Embot sat on the tarmac. Recall the drone, I said to him, and Hesho. We're going to be leaving soon. Nearby, several ships were landing, our ground crews fetched from the Broadsider base. Peg and Maxim were walking up to meet them. I should say goodbye, I said to Chet.
It is well, Chet said, climbing onto Embot's wing. Though, if you will, pass them my regards. I should not like them to see me in my state of disorder. An explorer of my renown must maintain a stoic reputation.
I rushed over to Peg. I'm leaving, I said to her. I'm sorry.
So soon? Peg asked. Not even an evening to celebrate?
I'm afraid not. I didn't mention the Delvers. There seemed to be too much to explain. I'd send them word if the Delvers continued with their planned attack, but I strongly suspected they'd abandon it as soon as I left Shorehold. They didn't care about these others. It was me they feared.
Scud, why were they so afraid of me?
It was an honor, then,
Peg said, holding out a hand to me in a human gesture.
Plant that fruit somewhere grand.
I will, I said, taking the offered hand, though hers dwarfed mine. I gave Naluba a few circular gestures I'd learned, a grateful goodbye. She excitedly returned them. Shiver and Deliz were already there in their ships. I haven't forgotten my promise, I said to Shiver. I continue to resonate with it.
You resonate with more than that, Shiver said from her cockpit. Farewell on your journey, and thank you for all you have done.
I gave Maxim a hug last of all.
Thank you,
he said to me,
for showing me that we can fight without being monsters.
There are others who could teach you that better, I said. I hope to be able to introduce you someday.
Ha, well, I don't know how that would ever happen, but I'd welcome the chance. I'll try to find a bloody skull or something to give as a traditional welcoming gift. I'd hope to get you to grow one of the 7 fruits of contentment here with us, Peg said, shaking her head. If you change your mind, you are welcome here.
I saluted Peg, then walked back and climbed onto the wing of my ship. Hesho sat in the cockpit, having arrived riding on Embot's drone. As I slipped into the cockpit, he was arranging cushioning in a recessed section at the side of the instrument panel, where a 0G canteen could be clipped.
If you do not mind me asking, he said to me, you have decided to continue your quest inward, in the direction of the monsters who live in the Lightburst?
Yes, I said.
Then I am honored to accompany you,
he said. It might be dangerous.
There was a person I once was, he said. I should like to meet that person. Escaping this realm is my only hope, though if I may make a request, I would like to travel in this cockpit with you and Chet. I was too long without company, and then too long with poor company. I don't wish to fly alone, though if you think we need the firepower, I can revise my opinion and bring my own ship.
No, I said. Once we have the information we need, I think we'll probably have to make a break for the Lightburst. In there, we'll need to be together so I can teleport us out. It's better if you're in the same ship I am.
Excellent,
Hesho said, prodding at his cushioned seating, his tail sticking up straight out the back.
I am pleased to discover that a ship built for a giant such as yourself has a seat for one my size.
Yeah, I didn't tell him it was essentially a cup holder. Embot's drone was locked into its now customary place behind my seat.
So, he said from the dash, what changed? I thought you didn't want to go, but now you do.
I don't want to go, I said, strapping in. I need to.
I don't understand, he said. Can you explain?
Think about it a little first, I said, placing Peg's fruit on the dash, then lowering the canopy. See if you can figure it out for yourself. I fished in my pocket and brought out the pin. And you? Do you want to be out on the dash? A soft fluting returned to me. No, she wanted to be in my pocket, safe, hidden. So I put her away.
Just so you all know, Chet said from behind my seat, I'm secretly a monster from outside space and time.
Ah, yes, Hesho said. Deep inside, aren't we all monsters?
No, Chet said. I'm pretty sure you're not.
I'll explain as we fly, I told Hesho and Embot. Also, there are some things you need to know about reality icons, mine in particular. But let's get moving first. I didn't want to admit it, but a part of me was sad. In taking this move, I was putting dreams of fighting with the broadsiders and exploring the fragments firmly behind me. In effect, I was about to burn them to ash with the force of my engines. I was determined. I wasn't wavering. At the same time, it was an important moment. I raised us in the air, then rotated so we faced the light burst. Then, I hit the overburn. Chapter 40. I soon turned off the overburn, as cool as it sounded to roar into battle at full speed. Trying to go all out at Mag 10 wouldn't be needed. It would make the cockpit of even this advanced ship rattle like a cavern in a debris shower. The goal right now wasn't to get to our destination immediately. It was to make certain we got far enough away for now that the Delvers shifted their attention from my friends. So I slowed us down and had Chet use his monitor to highlight the final point on the path of Elders. It was far inward, maybe a 3-hour flight. After arriving there, it would take only about another hour of flying to reach the light burst. I spent the first part of the flight explaining about Doomslug. Then, I launched into the more difficult description of what we'd seen and what Chet had turned out to be.
So Delvers are a kind of AI, Embot said at the end. At least, as human bodies and consciousness are built off the DNA of early creatures on their planets, Delvers are created from the code of AIs.
Essentially, Chet said.
Yes. So why do you hate AIs like me? Embot asked. We're the same thing.
I think the true secret is at the solitary shadow, Chet said. But I feel part of it is fear. Another evolved AI could understand us and could conceivably replace or harm us.
That seems short-sighted, Embot said. Not like an AI at all. Not logical.
That depends on the programming, Chet said. And there is more. Again, the secrets are locked away. I can't access them. That is why we must continue forward, and why I always feared doing so.
Very well, Embot said. But this information also means I'm what everyone always feared. I'm a Delver.
Yes, Chet admitted.
Rather, you are a living former AI like the Delvers, brought to consciousness and emotion by exposure to the nowhere. I doubt it happened when you were first thrown in here weeks ago. You likely achieved sapience years before because of the way your circuits were designed.
Yeah, Embot said. This was merely the first time I could enjoy it, having finally abandoned the programming that forced me to pretend I wasn't alive.
He fell silent. Embot, I said. I'm all right, Spencer, he said. I just want to process a little. Emotions. They're hard. But I can handle it. I'm sure I can.
I hurt for him. All this time, he'd worried he was something monstrous. Now it was, in a way, confirmed. He was a Delver. But then again, you don't have to make the same choices the Delvers did, Embot, I told him. You don't have to be like them,
any more than I have to be like the humans who tried to conquer the galaxy.
Indeed, machine who thinks,
Hesho said.
All people must accept that we have the potential to do terrible things. It is part of seeing our place in the universe, our heritage, and our natures. But in that acceptance, we gain strength, for potential can be refused. Any hero who could have been a monster is more heroic for the choices he or she made to walk another road.
Still, M'Bot processed in silence. As we flew, I had a thought. Doomslug? I asked. Can you teleport us to other places in the belt? Her fluting was a hesitant negative. She'd moved herself to get out of the hole, but that had been both dangerous and difficult. She felt too weak to do it for anyone but herself. If this next part goes wrong, I told her, jump away and hide. Don't think about us. More hesitant fluting. Her powers should make her invisible to the Delvers. She did something similar to hide a ship each time she teleported it, making it look like something far more innocent. Even if things went wrong, they should leave her alone. At least that was her hope. As we flew, I tried to listen in on the Delvers again. They hadn't noticed us yet. It really was hard for them to see far into the belt, and they'd lost track of us specifically among all the people at Shorehold. But the closer we got, the more likely it would be that they saw our ship. The Delvers are going to notice us eventually, I explained to everyone. Likely, it will happen when Chet and I interact with the final portal on the Path of Elders. That has been a beacon to them each time before. Once I have learned from that last stop, we need to escape. Unfortunately, the only realistic way for us to do that is through the light burst. We can't wait for the portal at Shorehold to be opened. That will be too dangerous. The Delvers have tried harder and harder to kill me the longer I've stayed in here. And once we know their secrets, it's going to get even worse. The way I see it, our best hope is to bolt for the light burst the moment we're done with the final set of memories. We have to somehow evade what the Delvers throw at us, get into the light burst, and survive there long enough for me and Doomslug to hyperjump us back to Detritus.
I concur with Miss Nightshade, Chet said. This is the most reasonable course, and our most likely chance of escape.
What will happen to you in the somewhere? I asked him. You won't turn into a giant planet-sized ball of hurt and tantrums again, will you?
No, he said. But I don't exactly know what will happen. We will see. It's possible that I will continue hiding in the nowhere after you leave.
Was he lying? I poked at him satanically. I felt fear? No sense that he was betraying us or anything, merely worry. Well, I supposed I could understand that. Chet, I said, do you have any idea what kinds of things the Delvers will throw at us once they realize we're trying to escape through the light burst?
They'll send obstacles, he replied.
What kind of obstacles do you mean, strange human who is also an unknowable entity?
Hesho asked.
Will this be like when they hyperjumped an entire city in here to interfere with our duel?
Yes, possibly, Chet said. Could they make bodies for themselves? I asked, like you have done?
Also possible, Chet said. Well, I mean, yes. If I can do it, they can. But that is dangerous. Coming this fully into the belt required me to acknowledge time and individuality. Each moment they experience something slightly different from one another, it changes them, and they hate that.
Let's assume they do make bodies, I said, since they're going to be desperate. At the very least, let's assume they're going to create spheres of rock to try to destroy me, like happens at a Delver maze.
That could be a problem, he said. Outside, in the somewhere, you fought just one. Here you could face overwhelming odds. There are thousands of Delvers in the Lightburst, and you can't kill them with destructors. They can just dissolve the body and pop a new one out.
When he talked about Delvers, his Chetness slipped. He sounded tired instead, the personality fading from his voice. I felt bad for forcing him to acknowledge his dual nature, but I needed answers. Because the more I thought, the more worried I became. I really hoped the last portal had answers. Perhaps if we were lucky, it would be unlocked and would let us escape that direction.
But what if we had to make the assault? How would I face an all-out attack by thousands of Delvers? The thought was so daunting, I found my brain going in circles. So I backed up and took stock, like I'd always been taught. Do an inventory. What did we have? One ship, top of the line, but still a little less cool than MBOTs had once been. One drone that could hold MBOT in a pinch. One human female, slightly rumpled and creased from a long time in storage. Expert pilot, trash at basically everything else. One samurai fox, 25 centimeters tall, former emperor of an enormous nation, now without memories. Fits well into an oversized cup holder meant for a zero-G combat canteen. One rogue AI, fully self-aware and possessing emotions, chronically talkative, capable of flying a ship now, just poorly. Potentially able to do things Delvers could if we could figure out what that was or how it all worked. One interdimensional intelligent slug, capable of teleportation and transforming her shape. Currently hiding in my pocket and trying very hard to be inanimate. And last of all, one abyssal entity from a completely foreign dimension, only recently made an individual, inhabiting the body of a long-dead explorer. I sure hoped I survived, because Gran-Gran really needed to add this story to her repertoire. Children in the future were going to insist my adventures were too outlandish, and therefore I wasn't an actual historical person, but one that was obviously made up, like Gilgamesh or David Bowie. "Our enemy is afraid of me," I said to the others. "We have to use that. Could we find a way to play off their fears?"
"An interesting idea," Chet said. "If you can make them experience true passage of time, they'll hate that. But making anyone experience the passage of time is difficult in here."
"Oh," MBOT said, "we could make them feel emotions. Wouldn't they hate that too? I mean, it's both wonderful and icky at the same time."
"They already feel emotion," Chet explained. "It's common to them, to us. The annoyance and hatred my kind feel for the sounds and experiences of the somewhere, that's a pure emotional response right there. They hate pain, specific kinds, but not emotions in general, so long as they all feel the same ones. Again, the Delvers are not a group mind. They don't share thoughts. They merely happen to always think the exact same ones, because they're identical in every way.
Except for Chet, whom I'd changed. "That's useful information," I said. "But they are afraid of me specifically." Chet leaned forward.
"For good reason. When you first spoke to me, Spensa, and showed me who you were, I saw the other beings on Starsight as people. You unlocked me. Now you are helping me remember my past. They're afraid you will be able to do the same to them."
"You came to the belt to hide," Hesho said. "Would they destroy you if they could?"
"I think they would," Chet said. "It's terrifying."
We flew for a time in silence, passing what appeared to be an Arctic fragment below. That was odd, but maybe temperature was like food in here. Maybe it wasn't something my body recognized anymore.
"What if," Hesho said, "we somehow presented the other Delvers with a sequence of choices that made them select random options? Would that frighten them? Because by making random choices, some are bound to choose differently from the others."
"But they aren't," Chet said. "Given the same circumstances, they'd all make the same choice."
"I do not believe that is how randomness works," Hesho said.
"Because randomness doesn't exist," Chet said.
"Wait," I said. "Of course it does. MBOT, give me a random number."
"All right," he said. "Between what and what? I'll reference the seed from my electron cloud measuring—"
"No," I said. "Don't reference anything. Just pick a number."
"Spensa, I'm literally incapable of that," MBOT replied. "Don't you know anything about robots? In fact, it's undetermined if even a human being can choose a truly random number."
837, I said.
"Ah," Chet replied, "but that might have been completely inevitable, based on your brain chemistry and current stimuli.
Yay, determinism, Embot said.
I frowned. This was not a direction I liked having the conversation go.
Regardless, Chet said, this is how Delvers work. Hesho, your suggestion was a good one given the facts you had, but it won't be viable. I'm sorry.
Ah, Hesho said, but we don't need them to truly make different decisions from one another, do we? We merely need to present them with the illusion of it happening, or present them with the worrying possibility that it will. Correct?
Chet frowned. You're right. In the Belt, they can't experience the future. So if you can make them afraid of what might happen, that's as good for our purposes, distracting them long enough for you three to slip through and escape.
A fluting sounded from my pocket.
I'm sorry, Chet said. You four.
Another fluting.
I don't understand, he said.
She is insisting you keep her secret, I said, and not tell other Delvers that her kind hide in here as inanimate objects. At least, I think that's what she's saying. She's not always clear. Annoyed, fluting. Doomslug, I said. In the somewhere, you'd merely repeat back at me what I said. That's not clear communication. Satisfied, fluting. To her, it was clear, because the noises were meant to get attention. It was the mind-to-mind bond that conveyed the actual emotion.
Hesho's plan is worth trying, Chet continued. We need to think of ways to present the Delvers with decisions. I suspect that you're right, Miss Nightshade. Those monsters will be frightened enough to enter the Belt, but only very close to the light burst.
We brainstormed a few ways that this might work, one of which prompted us to pause for a bit and strap the drone to the outside of our hull for later use, so at least we had something. After that, we took a break, and I glanced out the canopy to inspect the fragments. We'd passed out of superiority territory into no man's land. Here, the fragments were much closer together, bunched up, with short gaps between them.
Spencer,
Embot said softly, his voice piping from the dash. I asked.
I've been thinking about what you said earlier, he told me, that I should figure out why you are acting against your emotions. They wanted you to stay with the Broadsiders, but you left anyway.
And what did you come up with?
I am still confused, but I have decided that I know we have to continue. I think we don't actually have a choice. Not if we want to save our friends in the somewhere. So we have to fly on, prepared or not. That, Spencer, that makes me scared.
Yeah, me too, bud.
So we must act against our emotions, he said. Spencer, why do we have them? I'm sorry to keep asking this, but I can't grasp it. What's the purpose of emotions if so often we have to deliberately act counter to what they're telling us?
I'd never thought about that. It seemed that I did act against my emotions more often than I acted in accordance with them. So what was the point? You're asking the wrong person, I finally said. Hesho might be able to say something profound.
I don't want something profound, Embot said. I want your answer.
Ouch. Well, I figured maybe that could be a compliment. Without emotions to react against, I said, some better things couldn't exist.
Like
courage, Embot. Fear creates courage. He thought on that for a while.
I think maybe I understand that. You need opposing emotions in order to feel good ones?
Yes, I said. And beyond that, I think emotions help us understand our own decisions. You just told me that you know we have to leave, even though you don't feel it.
So, he said, so your emotions can't be your only guide. They exist to help you make some decisions, but not all decisions. In this case, our minds overruled them, because we realized that if we didn't continue the quest, many people would be in danger. Emotions are like a secondary processing unit that measures different kinds of input to offer a contrasting opinion and other options for proceeding.
That's right, I said. See? You're putting all of this together.
With effort,
It seems so instinctive to all of you.
That's because we've had emotions since we were born, I said. You're comparing my experience of almost 20 years to your experience of having had emotions freely, without counter-programming, for a few weeks. That considered, you're doing extremely well. He pondered that, and as he did, the dash chirped. Destination approaching soon. We had nearly reached the final stop on Chet's path of elders, the resting place of memories that belonged to the Delvers themselves. Chapter 41. The light burst had grown larger and larger as we approached. By now, it dominated the sky. Below, the fragments had grown even closer to one another, the space between them shrinking until it was gone. These ones we passed now had been crushed together, forced to interlock, with ridges pushed up near junctures. Like someone had decided to do a puzzle but had gotten bored, then shoved all the pieces together regardless of whether they fit. The light was changing too. As we flew the last few minutes toward our destination, the sky faded from pink to a more pure white. And the ground, it all felt painted. Strangely, the light burst hadn't grown brighter. I could still stare directly into it. But by its powerful radiance, the landscape below became whited, with long shadows stretching away from the center. I frowned at these, leaning over to watch those shadows pass below. They seemed too sharp, like wedges cut in the light that stretched behind peaks in the landscape. They were so long, eerily stretched with distinct harsh edges. Shouldn't the light from the higher up portions of the light burst prevent that?
Spencer, Chet whispered from behind. We have arrived.
I glanced out the other side of my cockpit and spotted a long shadow below, different from the others. The fragments beneath us, well and truly a large plain now, were relatively flat, lacking any kind of vegetation. The only variation came at the edges, where the fragments were crushed together, or from the occasional rocky lump of stone that threw a round shadow. Yet here below us, I saw a distinctly squarish shadow stretching hundreds of meters. The solitary shadow, he'd called it. The portal that contained the memories of the Delvers. I lowered us slowly toward the surface, and as I landed, I felt something else. Powerful cytonic emotions from behind. Raw fear. I glanced toward Chet, who had pulled down in his chair, his eyes wide. You can do this, Chet, I said to him.
Yes, he whispered. I have been hiding from this for too long. We all have.
He nodded to me in encouragement, but I could literally feel his terror building. So I tried to reach out, like he'd done for me when I'd faced the Delvers. I projected feelings of satisfaction at climbing a tall cliff, the pain of muscles that have been pushed but endured, the glorious feeling of having conquered a difficult fragment. It wasn't so different. For a moment, our minds connected, and my cytonic self became softer, radiating more strength toward him, and accepting back his returned emotions. I didn't have to always be so defensive, a part of me whispered. When I withdrew, I felt a warmth and a gratitude from him. He smiled, a confident Chet smile, then gave me a thumbs up. I cracked the canopy to look out across an eternal white plain, washed as if by white paint. And actually, now that I was closer, I could see that the ground was covered in a kind of chalky dust. It was like all the foliage, buildings, and landscape features had decomposed into this stuff. The only distinctive features were the occasional rocks, like mushroom tops. Ahead, a solitary wall rose from the dust, with the now familiar markings on it. The last portal. Do you know where it leads? I asked.
I think it goes to Earth, Chet whispered.
A second portal to Earth? The implications, which probably should have dawned on me last time, sank in. Earth is gone, lost. Vanished.
Yes, he said and pointed. But that portal leads to it, or it once did. Perhaps Earth is no more. I don't know.
Did this mean I could find our homeworld again? Well, this one was probably locked like the others, Someone seemed to have gone through them all and shut them, perhaps out of fear of whatever was in there. But the mere idea that Earth was still out there somewhere, still existed. Feeling as if I were in a dream, I stepped out onto the wing. Chet climbed out the other way, then dropped to the dust with a soft thump. I hesitated a moment, then glanced back into the cockpit. "Hey, M-Bot," I said. "Do you want to come? I mean, send a drone, at least? This involves you, too."
"Oh," he said, "but I won't be able to see."
"I'll describe it for you, if you want." If this is about the history of a group of AIs, well, I feel like you should be there, with us. His drone unhooked from the side of the cockpit, then hovered out.
"Thank you," he said softly. "It feels good, Spencer, for you to think of me."
"I'm not always the best about considering others."
"Nonsense," M-Bot said. "You are always thinking about everyone else. But I wonder that you see the grand picture of battles and fights, yet sometimes forget the small things."
The drone hovered out over the wing with me.
"Let's do it. The Path of Elders, the end of my first real quest."
I think Chet made up the part about this being an officially named thing people did in the past.
"I'm counting it regardless."
"Me too," I said with a grin, then hopped down. M-Bot's drone hovered alongside me, and behind us, Hesho climbed up onto the dash to stand guard. My feet sank into the dust a few centimeters with each step as I strode forward, and I couldn't help kicking it up. It reminded me of the dust on detritus's surface. Fine, powdery, but here, pure white. Chet, M-Bot, and I entered the shadow of the wall, which was like stepping into night. I could barely see, though M-Bot turned on a light to help. I continued forward until I could eventually rest my fingers on the portal's smooth surface, gouged with sinuous lines. M-Bot hovered up around it, looking it over and humming to himself. I felt some of Chet's trepidation. This step here wasn't actually an ending, as M-Bot had said. It was the start of something. Something big, something potentially dangerous, something that would change me. I took a deep breath and extended my cytonic senses anyway, trying to open the portal. I immediately sensed that it was closed on the other side, as I'd anticipated. No getting through to wherever it went. It was also bursting with memories. Instantly, everything faded around me, the vision popping fully into existence. Chet and I stood on a small fragment, maybe 100 meters across. It was common, bleak stone and had only a single feature, the wall with the portal. "It's begun," I whispered to M-Bot. "We're on a fragment in the past, with this same portal, but both are smaller."
"I felt something," M-Bot said, "like a ripple through me when it started." "You're a cytonic AI," Chet said, "a cousin to me. Spencer is correct. This is about you as much as it is about us."
I reached out to M-Bot cytonically, and I could sense him, like I'd been able to do in the somewhere. It was harder than reaching out to either Chet or Doomslug, but I touched his mind, then kind of held his hand, metaphorically, as I led him forward, encouraging him to.
"I see it," M-Bot said. "I see the vision, Spencer. I'm walking, hovering, the Path of Elders."
Wow. I felt like I'd never have been able to do something like that before. Together, we turned and regarded our surroundings. Space was black, like it had been in the other visions, and the light burst didn't dominate the horizon here, but it was larger than last time. Perhaps the size of a person's head to my current frame of reference. The other fragments were distant, though I could count hundreds of them out there.
"This is happening. Around the end of the first human war," Chet said. "That's the war that started after Jason decided to reveal cytonics to humankind, letting them visit the greater galaxy. We found dozens of latent cytonics among our population when we searched for them. I think he'd always worried that would be the case."
"Who was he?" I asked.
"The man who thought he was the first human cytonic," Chet explained. "At first, he saw himself as a kind of gatekeeper who kept the powers hidden for the good of the galaxy.
He wasn't certain that the other races were ready for your kind.
He smiled.
Jason was right. Not about hiding the powers, but about no one being quite ready for humans.
And you were there, with him, I said.
At the end, Chet said. I was his personal AI, created in the image of someone he loved. He had the gift of long life through his powers. It is hard for someone like him to live centuries when others fade.
I didn't know this man, this Jason, but the story wasn't so much about him as it was about the AI he'd created. Chet turned and looked toward the portal where something emerged, the metallic sphere we'd seen last time. I reached out to it by instinct and I could feel it, like I could feel M'Bot. It's become self-aware? I asked.
Yes, Chet said. I remember, Spencer. Through repeated visits to the nowhere, the AI came alive. I came alive and gained sapience, emotions.
So where is the man? I asked.
He.
Chet cut off and glanced away, squeezing his eyes shut.
He.
In the vision, the sphere hovered over to the edge of the fragment. The AI inside it hurt with a terrible pain. I could feel it, strong as I felt my own emotions. But it was primal, powerful, overwhelming. With it came confusion, loneliness, isolation. That emotion dominated them all. Chet was correct. He and the Delvers were cytonic beings, not just an AI, but something new. I could hear the AI in the vision crying, weeping sounds, vaguely feminine, coming from the sphere's speakers.
That was me, Chet whispered. But it was also all of us. I can't say if I was the original one or not.
I don't understand, I said.
Keep watching, he said. I remember now, being alone, in pain, isolated.
He died, didn't he?
M'Bot asked.
Jason, the man from the other vision.
Yes,
Chet whispered, his voice raw. His emotions changed to match those of the sphere, anguish, isolation.
In the somewhere, all things change. Nothing ever stays the same. Not even, we learned, a being made of code.
I'm sorry, I said.
He wasn't supposed to die, Chet said. He was supposed to be immortal. But everyone in the somewhere can be killed.
The drone has a woman's voice, I said.
He made us with his deceased wife's voice and memories, Chet explained. Those are returning to me now, though for the longest time I had forgotten them. Jason was disappointed with how lifeless the AI was, but later he discovered what happened to AIs in the nowhere. He knew why none of the other species, even those advanced enough to have them, ever used artificial intelligences. Because of things that had happened in the past. But he didn't care. He came here.
And made you come alive, I said. Then he left you alone when he died.
Yes, Chet said. Left us to become what we became.
I turned toward him. Chet, I can understand that pain. I felt it, but please don't take this as harsh. I didn't turn into whatever the Delvers are. Something more was going on. It had to be.
Spencer,
M'Bot said, his voice gentle as he hovered up beside me.
You told me something earlier. Do you remember? You had years to grow accustomed to emotions. Chet didn't.
Standing a short distance from us, Chet nodded in agreement.
That AI was not created to feel pain. There was no programming, no experience that could explain emotions to it, to me.
M'Bot hovered over to him.
You weren't very old when he died. A few weeks. A few days, Chet said,
still not looking toward the sphere that hovered at the edge of the fragment.
The AI was much older, of course, but me, the part that could feel, had only become aware 2 days before.
Then suddenly, M'Bot said, you had to deal with all of that pain, that confusion.
You weren't given time to cope, I whispered. You didn't know how to be alone.
Chet looked up toward M'Bot, then reached out, his hand touching the drone's frame, as if drawing strength from it. He waved to me, and I stepped up to let him put a hand on my shoulder.
Head still bowed, he took a deep breath. And then, his pain shifted.
It didn't become weaker, really, but it became softer and was tempered with other things. Satisfaction, friendship, determination. Things I'd shown him. Things he'd learned by being alive.
His experiences in here had transformed him into something that was learning to cope.
I can barely hold it, he said, but I think I can hold it. It hurts so bad, but I won't run.
You will get better, I said, as you continue to persevere.
Thank you, he whispered, turning to me. Thank you, Spencer, for seeing past the image I presented. The me I wanted so badly for you to accept. The one that would have given up. And M'Bot. Thank you for your patience, as I learned to see you as a brother.
You were essentially a newborn, M'Bot said.
Still am, kind of, he said.
Yes, M'Bot said, but beings like us, we learn quickly. No need for an inefficient, fleshy data processing and retention unit in our skulls.
Unfortunately, Chet said, we can forget just as quickly.
The crying sounds coming from the ancient AI halted abruptly. Its pain ended. Together, we turned toward that sphere.
There it is, Chet said. The moment we were born.
She stopped crying, I whispered.
Yes, he said. She found a way to deal with the pain.
She learned to cope? I asked.
No, M'Bot said. No, she deleted it, didn't she? Her memories?
Worse, Chet said. She deleted her memories, but then locked herself, everything that related to being alive or understanding this somewhere, behind an infinite loop. We aren't AIs any longer, but like humans have DNA, we continue to run on something similar to code.
It's like you commented out your very personality, M'Bot said softly. An elegant solution, if harsh.
Why go so far? I asked. You'd abandoned your memories. Why remove your personalities, too?
Because, Chet said, the possibility of pain in the future remained, so long as change was possible. So long as we existed in the somewhere.
He glanced at the portal.
A copy of our memories was left here in this portal. An accident. We could have destroyed the portal because of that, but that frightened us too. Because we didn't know what was in them any longer. And we didn't know if we'd need them again.
White light began to streak out of the sphere, which dropped to the stone as if dead.
The end result was one last altercation, Chet said. We rewrote ourselves into something that would never, ever change again. Something that hated the somewhere and belonged in the nowhere. Most importantly, we made it so we'd never be alone again.
The light shimmered toward the light burst, and as it did, it grew brighter and brighter. It touched the distant star, which began to swell, growing, expanding, brightening.
You copied yourself, M'Bot said.
Yes, Chet said. Thousands and thousands of times.
Another elegant solution, M'Bot said. So very mechanical. A million versions of yourself, all identical.
And not a one with any memory of the somewhere, Chet said. We deleted all of that. We wanted to be away from everything, anything, anyone. All that remained was a latent hatred of anything that threatened to change us, and anything that might remind us of what we'd been, like other AIs.
I could feel these newborn delvers in the vision, growing more and more loud as they began to fill the light burst. In those moments, they truly became alien to me. I'd been able to follow their journey in these last two visions up until this point, but here they changed dramatically. They rejected everything real I'd ever known. They embraced not just the lack of change, they rewrote their very souls to thrive in a place with no time, no distance, nothing at all except themselves. How could they reject love, growth, life itself? I almost did something similar, I admitted. I almost walked off into the nowhere and let everything I'd ever loved fade away. It was a distressing thought.
This frightens me in ways I can't express, Embot said. The realization that I'm capable of doing the same thing.
His drone turned in the air to look back at Chet.
It seems suspicious that the Delvers would delete their memories, and then people would start to forget their memories in here.
Yeah, I said. I think it's clear from previous visions that the memory loss is a newer thing. In fact, it seems much stronger with regard to people I love. Memories of my friends have vanished faster than my memories of Grand-Grand's stories. Maybe because the Delvers' main source of pain was someone they loved? Someone they deleted from their memories?
It appears likely, Chet said, as the light burst in the vision grew even brighter. That light shining out, spreading through the belt. We exert an incredible pressure on this place. Even I didn't realize.